Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin, and our friend Ed Short is not with us this evening. Today is Sunday, May 26, 2024, and it's 7 p.m. here at New Visions Radio. And the reason why Ed isn't here is because I'm actually on a vacation with my wife. So I'm doing this from a remote location because I'm not at Prophecies of Hope. We have a studio there where we do the program each week. And because I'm out of town, Ed and I couldn't get together. And we didn't have the technology because of where I'm located to be able to do this program together. So you're going to have to listen to me for just a little bit. So I apologize for that. First of all, I want to say that I want to thank Ray Powers for giving us the opportunity to be here each and every week on New Visions Radio. He makes it possible for us to be here, and when we're away like this, if I'm away or if we can't do a program, he always puts something on the air to substitute something that maybe we've run in the past. But we want to keep these things fresh for you, and that's why I'm doing this remote broadcast. So what we're going to do this evening is we're going to listen to a sermon that I gave back in 2023. And that sermon is entitled, Forgetting Those Things Which Are Behind. Because, you know, we all have sinned, we all fall short of the glory of God, and sometimes we might dwell on things in our past, and these things can make us feel bad. So this sermon was designed and put together to help people to realize that it is possible to put those things behind us. And with the grace that God gives us, we can put those things away. We don't have to look back. And this is to encourage us on how we can look forward and not look back to the things that we may have done. Because including myself, there's baggage that sometimes I go back and I dwell on and I think about. And this sermon is designed to help people to leave that stuff behind and move forward in Jesus Christ. So I hope you will enjoy that sermon. But before we broadcast that sermon, I just wanted to give you a little bit of information about Prophecies of Hope, just in case you're new to this program. Maybe you've never tuned in before. Prophecies of Hope is just a little tiny ministry here in Stanton, Virginia. We're located at 1743 West Beverly Street, and we have a church location, but there's just a few of us that meet. We're just a tiny little ministry. We use the Word of God only. We're non-denominational. We're not connected to any church or any organization. We're just an independent fellowship or ministry. And now, a little bit about our meetings when we get together. We have our church meetings on Sabbath morning. That's Saturday morning. We meet on the biblical Sabbath. And we meet at 9:30 for Sabbath school or Bible study. And our friend Ed Short, is the one that teaches that most of the time. I'd say 95% of the time or more, Ed is the Sabbath school instructor. And he does an outstanding job of keeping us on topic, keeping us in the Word of God, and not bringing in philosophies of men, but just seeing what the Word of God says. And I think you would really enjoy that. That's at 9:30. Every Saturday morning or Sabbath morning, and you can join us via Zoom. And if you'd like that information, you can email me at mark@prophecyhope.com, or you can send an email to office@prophecyhope.com, and we'll make sure that you get that link to be able to study with us, to open the Word of God. You get to read the Bible if you want. You can comment. You can ask questions. All of those things are done right there, and it's done live. And we also live stream that at our website, which is www.prophecyhope.com. Also, at 11 o'clock on Saturday mornings, we have a worship service, and it's a traditional worship. We'll sing a hymn, we'll have prayer, we'll have intercessory prayer for people, and then we will have a sermon and a closing hymn and prayer. And that's at 11 a.m. Eastern Time every Saturday morning. Then on Wednesday nights, we have a midweek Bible study. And we don't stream that, but we do that via Zoom. So quite a number of people will tune into that. And that's a really nice study where it's not as much really focused on a particular topic, but we can take time to answer a lot of Bible questions there. And sometimes we'll just go to a particular topic that someone has asked about, and we'll study it through. We might be able to get it done in one night. Sometimes it can take a number of nights to study through that. And we'd like you to join us there. That's at 7 o'clock every Wednesday. And then on Monday nights, our brother Rick, he actually does a prayer and testimony time for about an hour to an hour and a half every other Monday night, and that's also via Zoom. So if you'd like that information, please email me, and I'll make sure that you get those links, and you can participate with us. We can study the Word of God together. So that's a little bit about this ministry, and every week before we begin our studies, we always have a word of prayer. So let's bow our heads together if you're able, and we will have a prayer together before we listen to the sermon. Father in heaven, we're just so grateful to be here this evening. We thank you for all of the blessings that you have given us, and we just ask that as we take time now to focus on your word, as we think about our lives and we may dwell in the past, that you will help us to forget those things and recognize that we have forgiveness in Christ Jesus. So, Father, please open our minds and hearts to the things we're about to hear. We ask for your blessing, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, once again, friends, this sermon is entitled, Forgetting Those Things Which Are Behind. Once we've listened to it, we'll come back for just a concluding comment and a closing prayer. So I hope you enjoy it. So Brother Ed and I were doing a radio program. We've been doing this for many years. Brother Rick and I did it for a while, and then the three of us did it. And our schedules have to match in order to be able to do it. So we have a regular time now that we come together, and we do that each week. And we've been talking in the book of Romans. And we just happened to go to a Bible verse that talks about putting those things, forgetting those things which are behind, and moving forward. And this is something that's hard to do sometimes. And I'm speaking from my own experience. My own testimony is that so many times in life, I'll be going along and everything feels good, and something will happen, or I'll see somebody in a position or a situation, and I think, I remember I was there once. I remember I went through the same process. Now, we all process things differently. What affects me in one way may affect you in a different way. And it might affect you more deeply than it affects me, and vice versa. Each person by the same situation is affected in a different way. So when I say to you, I know where you are, it doesn't mean I know how you feel. It means I understand in a way because I've been through that process. I've gone through what you've gone through, even though we process it differently. So when I see people going through something, sometimes it takes me back to things that I did in my past. And it makes me feel beat. I feel beaten down. Because I start thinking about, did I really do that? Was I really that kind of person? Did I really fall into that trap? Were those the things I was doing? And my mind gets going. And if any of you know me, my mind runs all of the time. 100 miles an hour constantly. And what happens? I start digging my way back into the past in my mind. And I become sad. And I find myself praying again for things that I've already prayed about in the past and asking, please forgive me for this horrible thing that I've done. Look, this is where the devil wants you. He wants you to keep looking back at who you were, what you did in your past, the things that you've left behind. That's where he wants you. How do I get there? How do I not look back? How do I get to the point to where I say, you know what? I don't mind talking about those things, but I'm not going to let it pull me down. It's good to reflect and say, look, this is where I was, and here's where I am now. Not to erase history, but digging up the past, constantly looking back. You know, so many people, you get together with old friends and you reminisce about times past. Well, what about today? What are we doing right now? Live in the moment. Live for now. I can't change what I did. There's nothing I can do. And the adversary wants us to focus on our checkered past. That's where he wants us to focus. And we, like I said, we can use that as a testimony. And this is what the Apostle Paul did. He used his past as a testament of what he did, but where he was before he died. And we know about the Apostle Paul. We know that he was Saul. He persecuted the church. What a checkered past he had. And from time to time, you see, he'll reflect on that. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to take time to turn to this account in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. This is the text that Brother Ed took me to when we were doing the radio program last week. And it really hit me. I mean, I've read these texts over and over. But sometimes, depending on where you are in life, depends on the effect that it has on you at that moment and for the rest of your life. Isn't that true? So Philippians chapter 3. Let's begin here. I'm going to start in verse 1. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Philippi. He says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of mutilation, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." Verse 4. "Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks I may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews concerning the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church." There he is. He's reflecting on what he did. "Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me? These I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ." I think I don't know if it's the modern or the New King James, says I count this as dung, which is manure. It's excrement. "That he may gain Christ." So all of those things are garbage. "And be found," in verse 9, "and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." The power of Christ's resurrection is a marvelous thing, because think of what Christ is doing for you now that he has been resurrected. He helps us to overcome. Verse 12, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus had also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do," pay attention to this, "but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this in mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example. And note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." Paul says, What did he say? Look at verse 14. Forget those things which are behind and reach forward to the things which are ahead. And then in verse 19, it talks about the destruction. Their God is their belly. Their mind is set on earthly things. In my past, my mind was set on earthly things. And that's why when I start thinking about those things, when I start looking back instead of forward, what happens? It brings me down. And so many of us, we tend to reflect back in regret of the things that we did, which is, it's good. Look at it with regret. But look forward, forgetting those things of the past with the hope that Christ Jesus has given us, that those things are done. I'm through with that. That life is in the past. I'm not going back to that. We have to be determined. And the only way that we can do that is in Christ Jesus himself. Dwelling on the past is not going to change the past. But I can share with people that have been and done the things that I have done, how did I overcome? How did we get to where we are now versus what our past is? Every one of us here has a past, and there are things that are past that we wish we hadn't done. And if you're not at that point, then you don't know Jesus. If you look at your life and you say, nope, didn't make any mistakes, I'm glad everything is just the way it is, then you don't know Jesus. He hasn't pointed it out to you. Every one of us, some more than others, have things in our past that have actually made us into who we are today by the experience that we've had with Jesus. Look at Paul and the things that he did based on the relationship that the things that he did in his past and his relationship now with Jesus Christ when we read these things. So try to forget those things in the past. You might think, well, it's too late for me. No. If you're still breathing in and out, if you still have cognizance and you're aware of what's going on, it's not too late. It's not too late. You know, there's a number of people in the Bible. We could go from cover to cover in this Bible of people who had a checkered past. And one of the ones that we looked at in our radio program last week, and I want to go there. Let's turn back and look at David in the 51st Psalm. Now, keep in mind, this is King David. We know this account pretty well, and we look and we see the things that he did in his life. We know that he wasn't permitted to build the temple. We know that he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. And if you've ever read that account, and you look at the things that he did and how really he was conniving. He was conniving. He did things in a way that was not godly in any sense of the word. But here in Psalm 51, after he was approached by Nathan the prophet, he has a true confession, a true moment of giving it all to God. And if, I know I had a checkered past, if there's something that we're doing now, if there's something we've done in our past, and we haven't given it to God, this is an example. This is an example of what we can do, how we can speak to God. Now, keep in mind that this is not only a song that was written by David, but this is a prayer. It's a prayer of repentance. It's a prayer of, I wish I had never done these things. But he can't change what he has done. But let's start here, Psalm 51. It says here, beginning in verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Have you ever prayed that prayer? If you haven't, you might want to pray this prayer. If you mean it. If you mean it. Let's suppose you don't mean it. Help me in my unbelief. I'm going to pray this prayer, God. I don't really mean it, but I want to. You can say that. I don't really mean it, but I want to mean it. Help me to mean it. Help me in my unbelief. So notice again, the last part of verse 1, He says, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions. This is the first step, acknowledging what I have done wrong. I have done something wrong. I have to own it. This was bad. This was wrong. For I acknowledge my transgressions, verse 3, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Verse 5, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. David recognized that there was something wrong with him. We need to recognize there's something wrong with us, and that is sin. We are all defective somehow. We inherited it. It's part of this world, unfortunately. But if we recognize that, then we can have the remedy for that. But we have to recognize it. He says it again, verse 5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. The inward parts means the kidneys. What are the kidneys for? They're a filter. They're a filter. Don't you wish you had a filter for all of the garbage that was going on today in the world? That would filter out the debris and just let you see the good things? But he says there, he says in verse 6, behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. Who is the way, the truth, and the life? It's Jesus Christ. You desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part, you will make me know your wisdom. Who is the wisdom of God personified? It's Jesus Christ. This is really a beautiful prayer. Verse 7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. I want to stop there. What is this, purge me with hyssop? Purge me with hyssop. Do we know anything at all about this hyssop? What is it? Well, I looked it up. And hyssop, when he says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean, in the book of Numbers, chapter 19, hyssop is the only thing that would cleanse someone as far as touching a corpse. It would cleanse them from that. The only hyssop could, by the Levitical law, could cleanse somebody from contacting or touching a corpse or from the defilement of leprosy. And that's found in Psalm 14:4. And David here recognizes that he's like a corpse. He's like a leper. He's so sinful that the only thing that's going to clean him is this hyssop. Cleanse me with hyssop, purge me with hyssop, it says. So hyssop is known to have the greatest purifying power of anything that they understood at that time when he's writing this. And really, the only thing that can cleanse us like hyssop is what? The blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing else. Nothing else can cleanse us like that. So he says in verse 7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. That reminds me of Revelation 7:14, where we're given white garments, white robes. It says here, make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. And then he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. What's he saying? You cleanse me. Help me to overcome these things. And when I see that you have done that, when I see the evidence, I'm going to teach others. I'm going to preach the gospel to them. Really, think about it. That's what he's saying. Look at what he says in verse 13. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. He doesn't say anything about leading them to anyone else. He doesn't say, I'm going to lead them. What's he say? They shall be converted to you. We need to point people to the Father and His Son. Verse 14, deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. See, he's praying this because he had had a man murdered, and he had blood on his hands for many different things. But he recognized his wrong. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed. Not just from the charge of bloodshed, but he wanted to be delivered from the guilt that he felt for doing it. You see, he didn't want to look back. He wanted to look forward. He wanted to forget those things which were behind, but still be able to recount them so as to never go back to it. And that's really what's happening here in his heart. So verse 14, deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. You know, not in these words, but I prayed this prayer because at one time I was very introverted, and I never in all of my life dreamed that I would have been standing in front of people or even opening my mouth to say anything about the Word of God or teach someone anything. But when I prayed the prayer that, Father, if you give me the ability to be able to speak to people, I will do it with every bit of strength that I have. And he helped me to overcome that fear. And if you have that fear, he can help you overcome it also. So here, what's he say again? In verse 15, O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. In other words, I'll shout it from the rooftops. I'll be praising your name. I'll be teaching others, preaching the gospel. Verse 16, for you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a, what? Broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. A contrite heart. That's not a word we use a lot. But that word means collapsed, emptied, crushed. That's what it literally means. A collapsed heart. So, in other words, we've pushed out. We've collapsed it. If I collapse something, nothing can be between it. So if I have a collapsed heart, I've rid it of myself. And now I'm giving it room for only Jesus Christ and his Father to come in. And that's what he's praying for here. He says, again, look at verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and a whole burnt offering. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. Well, we know this was at a time when they were sacrificing. But we know the ultimate sacrifice. And we know that that's been done. How can I have a contrite heart? By allowing Christ in. By allowing him to fill up that broken heart. All of those things that I did in the past, and I think about some of those things, and it makes me feel wounded. But he'll pick us up and dust us off and clean those wounds. In fact, he's already done that. We just have to accept it. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter. Let's take a look at a couple more texts here. And I hope you find this encouraging, because this is not made to discourage us. This is to encourage us to be able to forget those things in the past. When we look at David and the things that he did, and what does God call him? A man after his own heart.
All of those things were in the past. They're forgotten. They're done. He's put them as far as the east is from the west. Let's just not go back to it. That's the key. So 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to begin in verse 13. It says here, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lusts," see, our former ways, as in your ignorance, "but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.' And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold and from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." You know, if that's what paid the price, how can I go wrong? If the price was paid without blemish and without spot, there's no way you can miss. Verse 20, "He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Having been," what? "Born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever." That's the word of Jehovah. Who's the word of Jehovah? That's Jesus. "Now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you." So it's possible to put those things behind us because of what Jesus has done for us. That's the only way. Because to try to do it otherwise, to try to do it myself, is futile. There's no way I can do it. There's no way I can do it. In fact, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4. We actually read this in Sabbath school this morning when Brother Ed took us there. This shows us how we can do it and why it's possible and what Jesus is doing and what he has done. So Hebrews chapter 4, take a look at verse 14. It says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So let us come meekly." Is that what it says? Let us come with our hat in hand, so to speak. No, it's not what it says. It says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Did David come boldly? He did. He came boldly and he confessed. And he says, "I have done these things. I have done wrong and I want a different heart. My heart is wicked. My heart wants these bad things, but I want you to restore mine." Pray that prayer. Pray that prayer. We can have hope in Jesus Christ. Well, you know, there's no way you can cover these verses and not at least talk about Romans 6 and Romans 8. There's no way. I can't stop here. You know, when we've looked at Romans 6, let's just turn there for a moment. We've looked at this text, we have sounded this down, and we will continue to sound this down because so many people not only misapply these verses, but they also don't really think about what it says. Notice verse 1. I'm going to start there. Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What does that mean? I can't continue in sin. Why? Certainly not, it says in verse 2. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Forgetting the things in the past, leaving them behind. Verse 3, or do you not know that as many of you as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life, leaving behind those things which we once did. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. We talked about the power of his resurrection. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died, in other words, you have died to that former course, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Why? Because of Jesus. We're freed from sin because of Jesus. I'm not looking back. Verse 8. Now, if we died with Christ, did we die with Christ? If we gave our life to him, we died with Christ. We believe that we shall also live with him. That doesn't mean in a figurative sense. We can live with him. Verse 9, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. You realize that every time you go back and you start thinking about those things and you start dwelling on them, what are you doing? You're crucifying Christ all over again, because now I've got to come back to where I am now. If I begin to do those things, sometimes you dwell on them and you begin to long for that and say, you know, I enjoyed those things that I did. That's when you've literally, in a sense, crucified Christ all over again. Verse 10, it says, for the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives, that's now, he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So it says, present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. Remember, he said, I can come boldly before the throne of God. If you're dead, you're not going anywhere. You're not going to do anything boldly. You can't do anything. But if you're alive in Christ Jesus, you can come boldly to the throne of God. And you can pray. And you can die to that former course. And you've died to it, and you've been raised or born again. So let's go to Romans chapter 8. Remember what we're talking about, friends. We're talking about forgetting those things which are behind. And people approach me all of the time talking about the things that are behind. And they're dwelling on it. I can't be forgiven for that. Well, then, if you say you can't be forgiven for it, then you're calling our Heavenly Father and His Son and all of these patriarchs and prophets liars. You can be forgiven for it. The step has already been taken place to forgive you for it. All you have to do is accept it, receive it, embrace it. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You see, my old ways were fleshly ways. But the life that I live now, I try to live according to the Spirit. And every now and then, my mind goes back. But I can come boldly to the throne and say, Father, take that out of my mind. Take it away from me. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. My old ways, friends, were fleshly ways. But I want to live according to the Spirit. And I hope that if your old ways, if you weren't raised in a Christian home to know what the fruitages of the Spirit are, and you haven't lived that way all of your life, and you have a very checkered past. The key word is past. I can't change it. But from this moment forward, everything can be different. Everything can be different. Notice what it says again, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So I'm not going to be focusing on those things of the flesh in the past. I have to remind myself of this on a regular basis sometimes. It depends. It depends on what's happened in my life as to what I think about. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. It's talking about living that carnal life. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So pay attention to what this is saying. When this says you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, this means if you are in Christ Jesus now, you're in the Spirit now. You have left those fleshly things. It says, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So this means you can have the Spirit of Christ in you today, alive in a mortal body. But my heart has to be emptied of all of those things that I wanted to do. A contrite heart. That was David's prayer. A crushed heart, a broken heart, a collapsed heart. Have you ever been so happy or heard somebody that was so happy they said, my heart is full? Have you ever heard that saying? My heart is full. I hope your heart is full of Jesus. So let's continue reading this. I don't want to stop. I want to continue reading in Romans 8 because this is such a beautiful chapter. And I know we've read this dozens and dozens of times. But each time I read it, I see something that I never saw before. Verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So, suffering with Christ, what does that look like? It's not always easy. Do you think it was easy for Christ to bear that cross, for him to carry it, for him to take the whip, for him to have a crown of thorns put on his head? We will likely never go through that process. But sometimes mentally and emotionally, we may go through that process. But we have a high priest who knows what it's like to go through that process. That's what we read in Hebrews 4. So whatever it is that you're going through, whatever it is that you're feeling today or yesterday or tomorrow or in the weeks to come, Christ can be there with you. We can pray the prayer of David. We can look at these texts like this that will encourage us to keep moving forward, to have that spirit that we can cry, Abba, Father. We can call on our Heavenly Father at any time. Verse 18. He considers, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Who is this speaking about that makes intercession? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. The Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 27 says, he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit. Knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because it makes intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Let's not get tripped up by this word predestined. We have a choice. We can choose. We can choose to accept Jesus or not. And Jesus came so that we could forget those things which are behind, so that sin could be wiped away. You know, these are beautiful texts. I'm going to continue. I'm going to finish chapter 8, verse 31, Romans 8, 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Wow. You're on the winning team. Really, even though it's our choice, if you choose Christ and you stay in Christ, you can't lose. If God is for us, who can be against us? Verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he, not with him, also freely forgive us all things? Doesn't say some things, it says all things. Verse 33, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Is there anything that can separate you from Christ? Anything? Put the word in there. My past, my checkered past, the things that I was thinking about yesterday? Not if I confess them. Verse 36, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors, it says. It doesn't say you are conquerors. It says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded, this is Paul speaking, and I hope you feel this way. I am as well. I'm persuaded. It says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing created can separate you from the divinity of the Father and His Son. Nothing created. This tells me, too, again, that Jesus is begotten, not created. We can't be separated from him if we have him in our heart. And we live according to the Spirit and not the flesh. Forgetting the things which are behind. Look, it ain't easy. It's not always easy. There are days. And why am I speaking about this? Because just the other day, I started dwelling on. That's the problem. You don't want to. What is a dwelling? It's where you live, right? If I dwell on something, it means that my mind is resting or living there. I don't want to do that. I want to forget it. I want to forget those things. But I started dwelling on something that I did in the past. And I found myself literally coming to tears over something stupid that I did many years ago, that I know separated me from God at that moment. And I said, what am I doing? What am I doing? And the next day, we did the radio program, and it just, I said, I know this. Why do I keep doing that? And I know a number of people that I've talked to over the past year, this happens to us from time to time. I don't know if this happens to anyone here. It's happened to me, and I know it's happened to some who may be watching. We tend to look at our past, and it brings us down. But I want to show you this. I want you to look at this slide. And I just got this online. I didn't ask for permission. I didn't know who to talk to, but I just want to share this with you. Here's the title of the sermon, Forgetting Those Things Which Are Behind. And then it says, there's a reason the windshield is so much bigger than the rearview mirror. What's the rearview mirror for? It's to see those things which are behind. It's not only to see who's sneaking up on you or who's coming up behind you, but it's to see where you've been. Sometimes you look and say, what was that in the road? And you look up and you want to see what was in the road. And you look at those things which are behind. But look at the size and look at what the person's focused on. They're focused on the things behind, and the things in front are just going by in a blur. They're not paying attention to what's ahead. There's danger in that. There's great danger in that. But look again. I'm going to show you the slide again. Look at this one. It says, there's a reason the windshield is so much bigger than the rearview mirror. Where you're headed is much more important than what you've left behind. Where you are headed is much more important than where you've been. Isn't that true? We just read where we're headed. If we're in Christ Jesus, we're headed for the kingdom of God. We can have that kingdom today in our hearts, in our minds. That's what gives me peace of mind in this world that we live in. And when I keep looking to the things behind, when I keep looking to those things, it brings me down. But if I reflect on them and I say, you know, I used to do this, and I'm so grateful that God stepped in and I have Christ in my heart, and those things are no longer a part of my life. And I've been forgiven for those because I've never gone back. And I don't want to look back. I don't want to, because if you look back, if you start looking back, what happens? You might be like Lot's wife. She looked back. So what do we learn from this? Focus on those things which are in front of you. Stop focusing on the rearview mirror. If you're focusing on the things in front of you in God's word, then you're focusing on the things above and not the things behind you. And the beauty of this is no matter what you have done, no matter what's in your past, no matter what you did today, if you come forward and you come to God like David did in the 51st Psalm, read that Psalm. Read it in your personal time. And think about the things. Read the accounts of David and the things that he did and what happened to him. And the conversation that he had with Nathan. The things that took. Read those accounts and read the 51st Psalm when you start feeling down. And pray that prayer. Because we don't have to look at the things behind. We can forget those things and look ahead and up. I always love it when he's talked to Brother Roy. How you doing, Brother Roy? He says, keep looking up. Keep looking up. Why is that? Because if I'm looking up, I'm looking to what God has made, not only ahead but up, and also in anticipation of Christ coming in those clouds. So let's forget those things which are behind. Focus on the things ahead. And by doing this, we can have victory in Jesus Christ.
Well, friends, I hope you enjoyed that sermon. And I'm sorry for the volume difference. It's hard to get that equalized right. But I hope that was encouraging to you. And I hope that you will benefit from this, that you can apply these things that we talked about. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have, so we have to close with prayer. So let's pray together. Father in heaven, we're so grateful for the victory you give us in Jesus. And we just ask that you can help us to forget those things which are behind us and to move forward. So please be with each and every person here. Bless us through this week till we come together again. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So friends, once again, we want to thank you for being here, and we hope you'll meet us here again next Sunday, 7 p.m. on New Visions Radio. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.